You're listening to Call It the Homeschool with Karin and Meg, episode number 12. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Welcome back to Called to Homeschool. We're on episode number 12 today, and we're going to be talking all about homeschooling our junior high or middle school aged kids.
Yes. In Utah, it is called junior high, mm-hmm. and it is 7th through 9th grade.
But outside of Utah,
it's 6th through 8th, right?
And called middle school. No, yeah, 6th through 8th is what I did.
Yes.
Yeah. So it varies state to state.
Adapt as needed. Mm.
So we're going to start today with another fun review from one of you guys that we love.
Thank you.
Steph. And she says, what every homeschooling parent wishes they had in the beginning. Your experience is just what so many who are being called to homeschool need. I'm going into my fourth year, but still taking in every word. Your conversational style and voices are so easy to listen to. I wish we could chat in person. I can't wait for more episodes. Steph, I wish we could chat in person too.
Maybe we'll get to someday. We would have so much fun.
Yeah. Come shoot me an email or Meg. I'm sure we'd be happy to chat. Anyway, thank you for your kind review. We appreciate it. And we appreciate every single one of them. They make our day. We literally text each other when we get a new review. We're like, hey, did you see the new one? It's so silly, but we get excited.
I know. I was reading it to my kids and they're like, thanks, Mom. And I'm like, no, this is awesome. You don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of you guys to do that. We appreciate it. So hop on and leave us a review if you haven't yet. And maybe you'll get featured. You're lucky.
Yes. And you'll get a virtual hug from me.
Yes.
My high five.
We love you guys. So, thanks for all of your support so far. And we're going to jump on in to our next episode.
Junior high, homeschooling through junior high. I was just saying that I have had three kids go through junior high and I'm on my fourth.
Yeah. And my second is there right now. So we're right in the thick of this.
Yes.
Age. And it's not always the easiest age. There's a lot of emotions and strong will during this age because there's a lot of physical change going on in them as well.
There is. I like to just refer to it as the change, which is really fun for them. Mm-hmm. But puberty is coming in at full force. And so
it's tough stuff, especially with your girls.
You know, I don't know. I've been doing three boys.
I guess you're all boys. I'm on my second. My first was a boy. He's just easy breezy. But number two is just all emotion.
Oh, that's funny. My daughter, I don't want to throw her under the bus, but she just got angry. And my boys got emotional. And I thought, whoa, wait, what?
So this is a fun time. But they're wonderful too. There's
great. A lot of great stuff too. But it's definitely, they're changing and they're definitely transitioning.
Trying to figure out how to deal with
like who they are. Uh-huh. And you know what I mean? They're starting to feel like an adult, but they're definitely not mentally like an adult.
They fiercely want to be more independent. It's like a very strong, important thing to them because I think that makes them feel like you see them as bigger or older if you give them more independence. Mm-hmm. And it's a really natural and healthy thing. Well, it can be hard.
Yeah, I was going to say there, yes, a lot more talking in depth versus like, let's play a game instead. It's like, Mom, I need to talk.
So because of that, it's really good to give them a lot more independence in their learning as well.
Absolutely. And to really start challenging them academically. And that's why I think elementary is so important to connect with them on such a deep level. And so when they are now to junior high, hormones are raging. They are wanting more independence. And then you were saying, by the way, I know you're emotional or really angry. I want you to read this book.
Or go clean your bedroom.
Yeah, that's a little bit more challenging.
Right, yeah.
And so having that really good relationship with them first, and then they can kind of get through some of these.
Yeah, and it's changes. Building that trust, as we mentioned in our last episode. You're building trust with them in those younger years so that when they're a little more dependent and a little more closed off, they still know they can come to you and you'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this time we're moving away from them sitting right by you, wanting to do the school with you all the time and help with everything, to really being a lot more independent and preparing them for those high school years, which should be more fully independent. And they really need that transition period and learning how to do their work independently. But one thing that I would never leave off at this stage is read alouds. I think it's,
yes,
even if they can read so well on their own, keep reading to them, because it's a special time together as a family, but it's also, it challenges their mind in different ways. So
it really does. And it's, I love it. And as the, my big kids are finished with their college classes, so they're home right now, they keep sneaking in for read aloud.
Yeah, they
so
love
like,
it no matter what age they are.
Don't sneak in, just come on in.
And big kids still just love listening to the picture books even. But
yes,
but I just think that read aloud time is so critical for family bonding, for just in so many different ways. It's so important for them. So keep doing that even when they're good readers.
So an interesting fact about teenagers is, I don't know the exact year, but maybe the 1920s, 1930s, when they started passing child labor laws. And I am not suggesting that we should bring back child labor laws, but something we did.
No, not the laws, the labor.
The labor.
The laws are a good thing.
My bad. Slip of the tongue. So I'm not suggesting that we have child labor again, but what we would lost is, as a child is growing, they have some natural progression,
right?
A baby is crawling, then walking and talking. And as they are little kids, they are learning how to clean up after themselves and basic chores and helping around the house. And then we lost this teenager space. And we said, instead of you being out and helping the family provide income or doing these things, now it's this weird space where I don't really expect anything of you. You're kind of a nuisance. So I'm just going to grin and bear it until you move out of the house. But wait, you don't even have any of the social skills or adult skills to move out of the house ever.
Right.
And so I really think it is huge to treat your teenagers and really believe it, that they are useful and a very important part of the family.
Right. Yeah.
And we've talked about that with chores and doing all those, but having those high expectations with them too. Like, you're in charge of meals.
Yes.
You are in charge of this because you are an important piece to our family. And we've talked about this in my own family, that each member of us, we need all of us to have our family to work well together.
Definitely. Yeah. And if they understand that they are needed, they're going to feel a lot more valued and realize their part in the family and in life even.
Yes. If, I mean, if all of these things are to prepare them. Like, I feel like I am preparing them for battle, which is leaving my house.
It kind of is a battlefield out there. It's
right.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, I want to prepare them and give them as many tools and weapons of war as they need.
Right. Yeah.
And so having them believe in themselves, thinking that they are useful, then having all these adulting skills. And this is a really great time is to really have those teenagers step up.
Definitely.
And be a huge part of your family.
Yeah. So with that, you should really be giving them more responsibility and expecting a lot more out of them at this age, because they can handle it. And I always remind my kids of, you know, the stories like Farmer Boy and things like that, where the young boys, you know, 11 years old are out in the field doing this man work with their father. And think of all the work that they're expected and required because their family needs it. And while our families don't run the same way, they're just as valued and just as needed, and they can physically and emotionally do these hard things. And so I want my kids to understand that. And so the more you give them, the more they can recognize that in themselves.
Yes. And feeling like everybody wants to feel needed. And when you have young ones, sometimes you're like, I don't want to feel needed for a minute, right? But if your husband, you're like, he doesn't need me, like that feels harsh and it feels kind of sad. Like, they don't need me anymore. So like, why bother? So I think it's really important to let them know, like, you are needed and here's how you're needed.
Right. So in terms of schooling our middle schoolers, I was brainstorming with my kids today and asking them, what do they think that we do differently in middle school versus elementary? You know, I was working out what I was going to talk about here a little bit, and we all kind of laughed and said, it's pretty much the same. We do the same topics. We do math, we do language arts, we do just kind of the same basic things that they're doing in elementary school. It's just a little harder. And so really it's about just upping the level of the books they're reading, upping the amount of time they're spending on these subjects, and just kind of advancing them enough that it's challenging them to the level that they need.
Yes, I actually add in economics.
Oh, okay.
And I add in some government books, Whatever Happened to Penny Candy.
Oh, I love that. We've read that too.
Yes, we did that one. I add in character books. Do Hard Things was a really good one. I mean, I have a whole laundry list of books within each of these categories, but I add in finances. Oh, and good. I start adding in some of these other topics. So I don't necessarily go longer. Mm-hmm. I give them more books.
More books. Well, I actually do the same as well. Okay. Yes, but yeah.
And then it's been interesting with my oldest reading. He has a higher ability to read difficult books. Mm-hmm. And now it's Will and Ariel Durant. And they wrote this amazing history, but it's adult history. And I don't mean that sexually. I mean like the vocabulary and the verbs and the words that they use are very adult. And
it's not meant for children to read, but more for
adults. And he read them through junior high. Like, and they made complete sense to him. Mm-hmm. The second son did not enjoy those, so he didn't do them. But the older one, he could be challenged.
Yeah,
with some really hard literature.
And my oldest is the same way too. With I've really challenged him, and that's the same as we've talked about this in some of our other podcast episodes, where each child is going to be different, mm-hmm. and they're going to have different needs and different abilities, and so you can really listen to them and listen to what where they are in their learning as you choose the things for them.
And so there are some books that, like the Uncle Eric books, the How to, Whatever Happened to Penny Candy, all of my kids have enjoyed it.
Yeah, my kids have too.
And so there are some that I'm able to pass on. Mm-hmm. And we actually add in religion study. So we always do scripture study, but then we add in a religious topic as well.
Okay.
And so maybe I'll have to do on our notes, show notes, kind of show that list.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Of some of the junior high schedule, because we add in a lot more topics.
Cool. All right. That'd be great to see. Let's see. Oh, I think at this age is also really important to just expect more out of their, the quality of their work.
Absolutely.
Elementary age, they're going to be messy with their writing. They're going to not spell well. They're not going to do punctuation as well. Those kinds of things, because they're learning them during that phase. But now these middle school, junior high age kids, they know those things. And so they should be expected to do them correctly. So that's, I think, an important thing that I do differently as they get older there.
Yes, and learning to really edit your own work and stuff like that. And I actually, as they get older, when they have a math problem, I actually don't help them at first. Mm. I say, have you gone and reread the lesson? Have you looked on YouTube? Then you can come to me. So I try to give them as much of that responsibility
to solve it themselves.
Yes, because it's so easy to say, hey, can you just fix this for me? And instead saying, actually, I can, but it will be better for you in the long run if you learn how to fix these things on your own. And so this junior high phase, I really am turning so much more onto them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're stuck. Let me know some ideas you have to get unstuck. Don't come to me to solve your problem or like whatever you need help with.
Yeah, that's good. It's good stuff. Also some important skills that they need to be learning. Just learning skills or study skills and note-taking, writing essays, also organization and planning, that kind of thing. Like, get them a planner at this time so that they can be in charge of their schedules and their work.
Yes, I have a rule that if it's at so we have a thing, and it's in my program, I teach levels of liberty. Mm-hmm. And one of the, as you advance levels and that's mastering skills, then you receive more liberties as the gist of it. So one of the skills is putting all of your information into my calendar. But if you are 8, that's a lot different than when you are 13.
Yeah.
And at 8, I'm much more forgiving. And at 13, if you don't put it in my calendar, guess what? I won't take you. Like, even if I was there and available, like, I'm teaching them the skill of putting stuff into. So we use a Google Calendar because then they can invite me. And because I had a mess up with paper and an electronic calendar. Yeah. So I actually threw out the paper one because I kept writing them in one spot, but not
I've
the
done
other.
That too, yes.
So this way it's all on, and we have a Google Home. So then my schedule's up and everybody perfect. Can see it.
That's good.
And so that's something that I really push, that I need to know when you're going to work, especially, I mean, this is high schoolers, but they're starting to take the car. Mm-hmm. So I need to know that's in the schedule or you can't take my car.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Middle schoolers aren't necessarily going to be driving yet.
I hope not. If they are, they're probably, we need to talk about obedience more.
Also, this is a time I think that it's important to teach them, or you want them by the end of middle school years, to be putting more effort and more responsibility into their own learning and learning to value their education.
Absolutely.
Because often kids in this time are complaining about why they have to learn these different things and why does this matter to me? You know, you hear that a lot. And I remember thinking that a lot doing pre-algebra. But
I will never use this math.
Right? Yes. Like, but it's a really good skill for them to learn the value just of being educated and of having knowledge and what it can do for you.
Yes. I always like to tease. My husband does finances. So he uses a lot of math. And then they say, yeah, but why do you need to know it? And I said, because when you get stuck, I'm the one who has to teach it to you. So aren't you glad I know how to find the hypotenuse of a triangle?
Yes. They're also going to have longer attention spans.
Yes.
The word I was going for at this time. So they can be expected to work longer or work harder or study harder for things
Absolutely.
Than they could when they were younger. And they can follow their passions more deeply, which is something we both love.
Which is so exciting.
For our kids. Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to say lazy, but with kind of extracurricular activities, I am a little bit lazy.
I am too. It's hard when you have a lot of kids to do so many things.
Yes. And if they're like, this looks fun and this looks fun, mm-hmm. what I kind of do is I put it on to them until they get a little bit older and I've seen that they're willing to put forth work. Mm-hmm. And one of our kids, my son, who's a guitarist, I actually made him learn on YouTube for a really long time until I saw, oh, this just isn't a fling. This isn't something he just wanted to try for a while. This is something he loves and that speaks to him.
And he's good at.
Yes. And so in junior high, I finally paid for a teacher. Mm-hmm. And my daughter with vocals, we were finally paying for a teacher.
That's awesome.
It's expensive when you
it
have
is expensive.
Like
That's
every
it.
Kid doing one thing.
That's
like, if you're all $100 a month, do the math on that.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm doing a GoFundMe, just kidding, for my kids' extracurricular activities. But no, that's part of the reason. Like I simplify that as well. And junior high is when I'm willing to put forth more effort into getting them to places because you can, they like co-op fills a lot of the needs for the younger kids as far as theater or arts and stuff like that. But when it becomes their passion,
then they need more than that.
And then I don't mind doing it because I don't have to ask them to practice or work at it.
Right.
And that junior high phase, if they're willing to just put forth in the effort, then I'm willing to put forth in some time and some money to help their passion grow.
Yeah, that's good. So our teenagers are very useful.
Yes.
Right? So we want to utilize them. They can be really helpful to help teach the younger kids. Sometimes that's what I do with my olders. There are times when I have a lot going on or need to go to a dentist appointment or whatever it may be. And I can use the older kids to teach the lessons to the younger ones that day. So that's a good thing, but also they're useful. We've talked a lot about work around our homes and should be expected
Yards.
To do a lot more in the yard. Yeah. Especially
cleaning, cooking meals, all those types of things.
Yeah. My kids each have a day that they cook dinner and they have a lot that they're in charge of as they get older.
Yes. And we actually, so I don't think I even mentioned this to you. At 13, we decided in family meeting that mom and dad only provide a certain amount of clothes for you.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so at 13, we will provide, I believe it's 2 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of shorts. I always do socks and underwear because that's going to get questionable if it's on them. And then I provide 2 to 3 church outfits and about 4 to 5 t-shirts.
Okay.
And a couple pairs of shoes. And other than that, I put it on to them. So at 13, then it motivates them to find ways to earn money. Mm-hmm. If they want something, they know they can't come to me. I sound like the cheapest person out there right now,
no,
but it
I
adds up really fast.
It's smart.
When you do it. So
it's teaching them a great responsibility.
It really is. And so my oldest three all have a job. So my daughter, she's just finishing up 9th grade and she's been working. She's been babysitting for a long time. And now she works for another homeschool friend of ours who's a photographer. She works for her.
Yeah.
My other daughter babysits. But my son, who's 12, that's been tricky to find people who want to hire him because they want the big brothers. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, you're scrawny and your other big brothers are beefy. So he's been in this like weird little window. So I actually hired him for my working hours that he watches the baby.
That's right. And so, you talking about that previously.
Because I thought he really is putting forth a lot of effort and people look at him. So someone tried to hire my boys the other day to haul out cabinets. And Josh, he was like, I'll go. And they were like, no, you're like barely 100 pounds sopping wet. Like we want your big brothers.
That's funny.
So I do try to help them find ways to make money, but I try to put as much stuff back onto them as I can.
Right.
I think friends also become huge during junior high.
Definitely.
I've seen it with my own kids that friends, and not just friends, but high quality friends. And I don't want that to sound mean.
No, it's important though. You want your kids to have friends that reflect your values.
Yes. And so I realized as my second son, his best friend moved 30 minutes away from us, that I will drive there. Mm-hmm. And then the mom, she's great too. So we take turns and do stuff like that. But I've put forth a lot more effort to make sure he can get with this friend who is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Great family. And I think it's really important too, because the kids that they're going to be hanging out with, kids to this age, they tend to really, they really value their friends' opinions, yes, often more than their parents' opinions. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And so you really want them to have friends that are good kids, that are respectful, that are kind, that, you know, live the same values that you hopefully do, you know, or similar.
Yes.
So that when they're making choices based on their friends' opinions, they're hopefully going to be good choices.
I mean, it really happens as an adult too.
Yeah.
Like you start surrounding yourself and you become the type of people you are
exactly
with.
Yeah.
So I happen to have my best friends be amazing homeschool moms, mm-hmm, which is super convenient, right? Because then everybody keeps rising the bar.
Yeah.
And not elevating in a competitive way.
No, but we're elevating each other.
Yes. Like, have you read this amazing book? Uh-huh. Are you, mm-hmm, you know, are you like, what healthy recipe are you making for your family? Mm-hmm. And what principles are you teaching your children this year? Like,
yeah,
awesome stuff like that. So it's just giving my kids the same type of friends and saying, hey, I know we don't always live next door, so I'm willing. This is when I'm like, I don't love driving everybody everywhere, but this is the time where I am willing to,
yeah,
and put in forth that extra effort to get them with those high quality friends.
Mm-hmm. And having good friends is going to make a big difference in the long run. I think about my own growing up years, and I was lucky to have just a really awesome group of friends that had similar values to me and to my family. We were of different faiths, but we still shared those same values. And because of that, I felt like it made my growing up years so much easier. Whereas some of my older siblings did not have that and struggled with many things in their life because of the choices they made based on the friends that they had made.
Yes. And so this is a really awesome time. Like, there can be some challenges, but if you know how to solve a problem with your kids and with something going on and you've built this relationship with them, mm-hmm, then you can be really in tune with them. You know what? Something this thought just came to me. So maybe let's cover it. So have we talked about what your husband does for a living?
Oh, no, I don't think so. My husband is a therapist.
He is a therapist. And yeah, so he specializes in...
He does a lot of sex therapy and marital intimacy, kids with pornography problems, but also, you know, just marriage and depression, anxiety, really a lot of general things.
Yes.
But he does have a specialty in sex therapy.
So it's amazing. So one of the activities they had us do for a homeschool activity, mm-hmm, is he wrote down sexual words on cards and he handed them to all of us.
More like body parts that people are uncomfortable saying.
Or like a phrase or a term.
Or terms, yeah.
So that when your kid does come and say, what is this? That he then made us read the word, and I feel like
stand up and say it out loud.
Stand in front of everybody and then explain it as if your child had just asked you.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing. I think everyone in the room was kind of embarrassed because we're all, you know, you just kind of get uncomfortable talking about those subjects.
Yes.
In a room full of people. But it was so valuable because you realize that your kids are going to come to you with hard questions. And if you're not equipped to talk about them, then where else are they going to go?
Yes. And so maybe even practice that, like with yourself or you and your husband, like, hey, I wrote some words down and we're going to read them to each other. How do we want to respond? Because puberty is going to start full force.
And it doesn't only have to be words like this. It could be any difficult subject, you know, something that you find hard to talk about or you don't,
yes,
know how to answer. You know, what if your child has been using pornography, or what if your child is drinking and you're not comfortable with that? Or depression,
anxiety,
suicidal thoughts, whatever they may be, find out how you want to answer those questions and a way to feel comfortable answering them.
Yes. And so we were talking about it, when your kids are little, you can joke about some of the naughty things they do, mm-hmm, but as they are transitioning into this phase, they're a little bit more heavy and serious.
It's harder. there's so many kids this age bracket, middle school and high school, that are committing suicide. And it's becoming more and more frequent, and it's so sad and hard to hear those things. But I think if you're building those relationships and teaching them those hard things, then it can make it easier and hopefully better.
Yes. So we kind of went all over the place.
This is a big tangent, but it was good stuff, school, right?
Because, I mean, like, we want to prepare these kids.
They're really formative years.
Yes. And keep them safe, mm-hmm. and let them know that they're still loved, right? And like, yes, you're changing and you're finding out who you are. And I'm your biggest fan. I'm your cheerleader right here on your side. And kind of no matter what you say, I still love you. I'm still your mom, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
that kind of went heavy. So, but it's important to be ready.
So how do you teach your middle schooler? We didn't really go into that.
We didn't. I guess because it kind of just is the same as elementary.
Haven't listened to that.
So listen to the elementary one, and then I add in more subjects.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
And so, yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's about it. But you guys are amazing moms.
You got this.
We know that you can handle this.
You can do hard things because you are an amazing mama who was called to homeschool.
Yes.
And this is your reason why, is to be there for your own babies.
Thanks so much for listening today.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.